At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, how y'all doing? Welcome back to the Core Queen Podcast. I'm your girl, Dede Leggett, aka the Core Queen, and I am here with a special panel of women that I don't aspire to be like. No, I'm joking. Special panel of married women, y'all. I'm gonna introduce these lovely ladies, but welcome to the show, y'all.
Hey,
and welcome. Look, I'm scared of y'all. Look, I'm gonna introduce y'all to this panel because these ladies got it going on, okay? I'm going to start with LaTanya because she got this long ass bio that I got to read. So y'all bear with me with my public school education, you know. LaTanya is a Charlotte, North Carolina native. She is affectionately known as Tanya. She received her Bachelor of Arts in Business Administration at Pfeiffer University in Charlotte. She obtained her Master's in Marital and Family Therapy from Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. LaTanya is a licensed clinical mental health counselor supervisor in North Carolina. She has worked in the mental health profession for approximately 15 years in various settings. She owns and works in private practice at Hopeful Expectations Counseling and Consulting, and she specializes in couples therapy and infidelity recovery. LaTanya has completed 3 levels of Gottman training and is now working on her certification. She is a 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work leader and does corporate training and mental health education. LaTanya is passionate about working with couples because she understands that being married or in a committed relationship can be challenging. However, she believes that if you do the work, it can be successful and rewarding. LaTanya's dream is to travel the world, helping couples to master matrimony. Welcome, LaTanya.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Then we have Sean Gordon. Sean is a 42-year-old individual from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Oh, Lord. Sean married her high school sweetheart. Okay. Oh. All right, Mr. Gordon. And they have been married for 8 years, together for 27, and they have been blessed with 3 amazing children. Woo, child.
Good.
Okay, good. All right. Mr. Gordon snatched her up early, honey. Then we got my girl, LaShay Anderson. She is a serial entrepreneur and community activist from my hometown, Bucks County, Pennsylvania. She is a certified career coach and spends her days leading the human resource department as a consultant in the healthcare sector. LaShay owns She owns a lot of shit. But above all, nothing is more important to her than her love for Christ and her family. She enjoys spending time with loved ones, helping others, and turning up with her girlfriends. Welcome, Shay.
Yes. Hey.
Ooh, y'all. Okay, listen. We had the Married Men's panel, okay? So I need y'all ladies to come through and show out like they did because it was a great panel. But I just wanted to have a panel to talk to women to get their side of the story, this marriage thing. and maybe y'all can help me like the men did, kind of change my mind about marriage, okay? So I'm gonna start with this first question. Anybody want to jump in? Y'all pick the order. I ain't about to dictate that. Y'all got it. So what two qualities set your husbands apart from any other man that you dated?
I would say what set my husband apart and what made me be okay choosing him and making him a part of my life was, number one, his loyalty. Mm-hmm. Because I was cheated on a lot in my early years of dating, and his commitment. Mm-hmm. I don't feel afraid that he's going to leave, mm-hmm. you know, when things get difficult.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I would say what sets my husband apart is, one, his romanticism. Mm-hmm. I have never in my life met somebody, dated somebody, or anything with a man that's so romantic. He surprises me constantly. He's always going the extra mile, always trying to do something to make sure I'm smiling. He worries about us having us time way more than I do. Listen, I'm always moving and shaking, and he's like, nope, we haven't spent any time together. We're going here. It doesn't matter if it's a walk. Like, mm-hmm. he's on it, making sure that we stay connected. And then I would say the second thing would definitely be how he cares for me, just physically cares for me. I a few years ago, I had a surgery, and my post-op was just horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, things didn't go as planned, and I needed a lot of care afterwards. And the way he cared for me, that's when I knew, yeah, this is who I want to marry. Mm. I mean, care for me, changing bandages, washing me, like, never complained. Not one time. Never said, girl, get your mama to come over here and do this. Get your sister. You got both sisters. Get them. Never once went to all my doctor's appointments. Never complained. Never batted an eye. And this went on for months. Mm. So that was when I was like, yeah.
Okay, Tori.
mine would be, he spoiled me. From high school till we got married, he spoiled me. So I grew up spoiled. So he just took on that role. So it made it easy for me to be like, I want to marry this man. he was a family man. And family is very important.
Yeah.
So that drew me in.
Okay. Mr. Gordon was late. He was on it early. Like, I didn't know to do all this stuff. That's it. Okay, so last time I had the panel on, we had a caller call in, and I think this conversation got a little heated. So I wanted to bring it to you guys about premarital counseling. Did you guys do it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Pros and cons, let me know. I'm going to let you go last because you're the counselor, so I want to hear what they say.
I did it. I most definitely did. It was very important. My pastor wouldn't even let us do it, get married without it. But it was very important, and it also brought up issues that we actually have now. And so we're able to go back and talk about those things, like communication. So it's like we had that issue before we got married, and we're having it now. So how can we help solve this issue? And it's like, you go back and be like, well, should I got married? Like, it makes you think about things that you talked about in premarital counseling. Like, what, I had these issues then, and I still got married. So now you're thinking, like, love, all this other outside stuff. Like, it makes you start to think, like, why did I really get married?
Oh, my. Oh, Lord. See, you're scaring me.
But it's important because it makes you look at those issues before you get married.
So while you were dealing with these issues in the premarital counseling, they didn't, like, were you scared? Like, were you like, nah, I ain't doing it?
No, because it was more of him communicating. I get that. To me, I felt like I faced that. I've seen that a lot in Black men, like communicating. I've seen that a lot. So it wasn't, because I'm able to say whatever I need to say. I'm going to tell you how I feel. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. So it's just him giving me his feedback or how he's feeling about something. And that's what we have a conflict in. So I wasn't scared, but it seems like it can cause a lot of issues.
Okay. And it's not just black men.
Yeah, and then it being married, sometimes you as a woman now, it's like you don't want to cross that line now. Sometimes you got to take a step back and be like, I need to calm down before I say what I gotta say, because now they went too far. And how you come back from that.
Yeah.
So it's like going through counseling now. Like you have sometimes you have to take a step back trying to communicate. Maybe I don't need to say what I want to say. Let me take a step back.
Okay. What about you, Shay?
Oh, I definitely did premarital counseling. I would never get married without doing it. It's a requirement for me for just being married. I mean, this is also my second marriage. I did it my first go round. The pastor wouldn't even marry us without it. So I'm a firm believer in just counseling in general. I worked in mental health for a long time, studied psychology. So for me, it's like everybody needs a therapist. That should be on your list of physicians. When you give a list of physicians, why would you not have a therapist on there? So for me, it was a requirement, but it was a requirement for both of us. So we went through premarital counseling for a while. And again, I completely recommend it, because just like Sean says, it brings up things that you won't even think about. Again, this is my second marriage. So a lot of these things, I kind of already knew what to expect. It's my husband's second marriage too. So we knew what to expect with a lot of things, but I can, you'll talk about things like finances and how you communicate, your love languages. If you don't have children, you're going to talk about your expectations on raising the children. Things that you do not think to have conversations about. Especially, I feel like, in this generation where people just jump into relationships and meet somebody, and all of a sudden, honestly, they're pregnant 4 or 5 months later. So they're not even, you don't even know if this person wants to raise kids in the same manner that you do. You don't know what their morals are. You don't know, they might not celebrate certain holidays. They might not want to raise their children religiously. And for me, if you're not God-fearing, like, it's no need in us even having a conversation.
Exactly.
So premarital counseling brings up a lot of things that very well may happen later on in your marriage, and it gives you tools to be able to cope with those things when they come, or things that may not ever happen, but you're given tools and strategies that if you come against these things, here's some tools that can help you get through them. So I definitely recommend it. I don't recommend anyone getting married without it, because I also know people who have gone through premarital counseling and decided this isn't for us. This isn't for us. Marriage isn't for us. And you know what? And they took some steps back, and it helped them realize that they weren't as compatible as they thought they were. When you throw all the outside stimuli out and you really focus on the deep stuff, you realize, well, we're not compatible. So I certainly recommend it.
Now, Miss Counselor over here, I really wanted to talk to you, because if you guys watched the show with the men, there was some apprehension from the men. They had really bad feedback about premarital counseling. One even went so far as to say that they felt like the counselor was against them, and he was like, she was saying the wrong things to his wife about him, and it was a mess. So I just wanted to know from your personal and professional standpoint about premarital counseling.
Personally and professionally, I feel like everybody should do premarital counseling. A lot of times, because you don't really know what you're getting into. And premarital counseling offers tools and tips and resources to help you to navigate your marriage. But me personally, I think that in addition to the premarital counseling, I think you need ongoing counseling. One is, premarital counseling is not created equally. You know, I know a lot of pastors will make it a requirement that you do premarital counseling. But I also think too, and not really trying to be biased, but I think that a person that is provided, this is just my own perspective and opinion. I think that you should also get premarital counseling from a person who specializes in it. I say that because we sit with couples all day, you know, a lot, and it's things that we can predict. I can sit and predict couples that I feel that will be successful, just based on behaviors. Now, I may not know the couple, because they are the expert at their relationship, I'm trained in behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I look at. I look at behaviors. And so, you know, a person who specializes in couples therapy, I think will also be an asset to the couple, because we might see things like, a lot of times premarital counseling with a pastor is from a biblical perspective, mm-hmm. but we're looking at a psychological perspective, and we're looking at a lot of statistics. So, but in addition to that, because my husband and I, we did premarital counseling, but it wasn't premarital counseling. We were going to counseling first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm here to be transparent. The first 2 years, we butted heads a lot because, you know, we were two different people. Mm-hmm. And, but I was just adamant that I would not marry anybody without premarital counseling. And, you know, based on statistics, the average couple waits 6 years before going to therapy.
Oh.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
And by the time you get to therapy after 6 years, you have so much resentment that a lot of couples don't stay together. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times the success rate for couples therapy is low, because when people come to us, they're checked out. Mm-hmm. They're emotionally checked out.
And they're not trying to do the work.
And they're really trying to just check off the list and say, before I get divorced, I get
out. Yeah.
But the other part is, I feel like that counseling, because relationships are so unique, counseling is helpful to help you to work through those things as you go through your marriage, or, you know, so my husband and I, we've been going to therapy for 8 years, and it's like a tune-up. Like, you wouldn't drive a car without changing the oil, rotating the tires, changing out the fluids. That's how a marriage is, because you're going to run, just like we were talking earlier, we evolve. Mm-hmm. And as we evolve, sometimes we need some help to manage these changes, and having that unbiased third party there to help direct you could help your marriage stay healthy and successful.
Ooh, Lord, this sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It is.
Job.
Jeez. Does this job pay?
So, that's, I like that. That's good. I should have took some notes. Okay, so I asked the men this question too. I'm going to try to ask y'all the same one, because I like to hear the duality of it. So, what are some benefits of being married?
Not taking out trash.
You don't have to be married for that.
Huh?
You don't have to be married for that.
I know. But that's definitely my benefit. I have many benefits, but that's one. Just having a partner, having somebody that no matter what I'm feeling, I can talk about it. If it's anger, I can express it. If it's sadness, I can cry to them. If I just want to be somebody that you can just be completely transparent and be yourself with. If I feel like doing my hair, I can do my hair. If I don't, I don't have to, and he still thinks I'm beautiful. I can be my regular silly self that I can't be during the day because I'm working, and we got to put on a certain persona when we're working, and I can take off the mom hat and I can just be me and smack him upside the head with a pillow. I do things like that. So, I mean, I can just being able to completely unveil yourself to someone. And it's nothing like being able to have that somebody that learned you and knows you to where you can say, I just don't feel like being bothered right now. I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like answering my phone, and them not get offended. I can say, like, my husband will call and he'll just be like, what's wrong with you? I don't feel like talking right now. All right, I'll talk to you later. And he's not offended. He's not anything. I don't feel like talking. And you can't do that with everyone, but having someone that knows you enough to know that you don't feel like being bothered when you don't even have to say it. Someone that knows, you know, someone that can just predict certain behaviors, that pays attention to you. Someone that, again, just that benefit of really being able to share things with someone and knowing that you have their complete loyalty. Yeah, I mean, I think of how many friendships get lost or get destroyed, and you think people are loyal to you and they're not. But knowing that you have a partner that is committed to you, and no matter what's going down, no matter who's coming your way, he is at my back. It does not matter. That man is like my bodyguard. It doesn't matter who comes against me. He is there. So, like, literally, I feel like with God and my husband, I'm invincible. Like, can't nobody touch me. Can't nobody do anything. So those are the benefits, the main benefits for me. I mean, I have a laundry list. I have a good husband. But so I have a laundry list of benefits, but, like, those are the main things for me.
For me, it's just having a partner. Yeah, right now is he loves to cook. So. Thank God.
Ooh, she got a good one.
Listen, girl, I'm married to a chef, so I get it, baby.
So, like, it's just having, like, sometimes when you don't feel like doing it, he'll pick it up. Now, it ain't always good, but, I mean, he's like, I know if I need something, I know I'm gonna be like, hey, I don't feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. I know he's gonna fold these clothes. Like, you know, like, it's just certain things that he's gonna pick up. He's gonna get it done. Somebody I can talk to. Like, he allows me to express myself, whether it's anger, whether I'm sad. Now, sometimes he's not gonna say nothing back, but he lets me get off my chest what I gotta say. And that's good to have also. Mm-hmm. Like, so just a partner, somebody I can confide in, that means a lot to me.
So I got married at the age of 49, my first marriage. And so so I've been through many years of being alone, dating a lot of people, and just having a husband is that's supportive. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has supported me. I'm always doing something. Anybody knows me know that I'm always on some kind of project, doing something. And, you know, he supports me. I have a lifelong friend, someone to talk to, somebody to cuddle with, you know, somebody to that, you know, doesn't judge me. Mm. Like, when you can have somebody that, you know, you act up, you know, the person that can see every part of you and not judge you. It's like having a lifelong supporter and best friend. That's a great benefit, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, having somebody in the house, you know, you know, because I was a single parent. And so being a single parent, I had to, everything was on me. Mm-hmm. Everything was on me, or I had to pay somebody to do it. And one of the things that my husband did that won me over was, I had to tell the story, but what really won me over is he promised to paint my living room, and I had asked a few other people, and he came, he showed up when he said he was, and he painted. And he didn't really ask for anything monetarily.
Yes.
So, but the integrity is priceless. Mm. You can't pay for it. Mm-hmm. And he won me over with his integrity. You know, one thing about it: if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Now, it might not happen when you want it to.
Come on, Lord.
He's going to do it. Right?
He's going to be here on time.
He's going to do it. But my husband is going to, he's a Leo. So I don't know if y'all know anything about Leos. They're going to do things when they're ready.
My son's dad is a Leo.
When they are ready. So he'll say he's going to do it, but he will.
Okay.
When he gets ready.
I know that. So much, he put that in, when he get ready.
Let me call them.
Okay, I don't know if y'all sold me on that, but okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell y'all what the men said, and it was an overwhelming majority said this thing about the benefits for them being married is that their wives multiply everything, whatever it is. Like the one guy, he said when he started out his business, he had like one type of shirt. His wife got a whole clothing line for him now. Like, so they're just saying just the benefits of a woman being able to multiply stuff.
I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah,
I thought that is what we do. That is why we are the help.
That's what
and that's why I say we be quiet. I'm not married. Shut up. Okay. What are some misconceptions about marriage?
It looks easy.
Mm-hmm. Who told y'all it look easy?
If you like as a woman, you when you think, oh, I can't wait to get married, I'm gonna be this wife. I'm gonna take care of these kids, I'm gonna go to work, I'm gonna cook this meal, I'm gonna and in your mind you think it's gonna be easy until you get married. Mm. And it's not. My kids are 6 years apart. I have a 20-year-old, 13-year-old, and a 6-year-old little girl. And they all active.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you think, okay, so when do you be a wife? Like, it's like we don't even have time. Like, you know, we barely even have time because we got these kids. Mm. So it's like, it sounds good, it looks good, but it's like, when do you be a couple? When are y'all together? So dang.
And that's the kind of stuff that comes up in premarital, that should come up in premarital.
Yeah.
Like, how are we going to deal with the kids? You know, are we still going to have quality time? You know, those kind of things. Because one of the biggest things that it said is that after you get married, the sex it dwindles a lot. That's because you have all these responsibilities that you don't even think about before you get to the
You're tired. I think that one of the misconceptions to me would be that when you get married, you're not an individual anymore. Mm. And you have to completely lose yourself. I mean, yes, you guys become one, but you're still an individual. If you're grateful enough to have a partner that understands that. Mm. So I say that because I do know some marriages where people feel that they can't be themselves, or they can't go anywhere by themselves, and it's like you're no longer allowed to hang out with your girlfriends, and he can't go out with the guys, and you can't take girls trips, and you can't. And I'm grateful I don't have that. Like, I don't, me and my husband, we do a lot of stuff together that we want to do. He goes out with his friends and his family, I go out with my friends and my family. There's no issues. If I want to go to one of my sisters for the weekend, there's not a bunch of misconceptions that I'm supposed to be doing something that I don't have any business. If he tells me he wants to go somewhere, I'm not asking 50 million questions. Have fun. See ya. I get the man to myself for the weekend and I can watch all my shows.
Right.
What? Bye. I'll miss you. So I'll see you when you come back. They give me a couple days to miss you. But I think that when you learn that you can be one and still be an individual, first of all, that's so beneficial to because I also know how it feels like to lose yourself, how it feels to lose yourself in a relationship or a marriage, thinking that you have to just be this one and all you know how to do is be a wife. And I've gone through that and had to find myself completely over again, going through a divorce. I didn't even remember what I liked. I didn't even remember what my hobbies were anymore. Ooh, all I knew was being his wife and their mom.
See, now that's where we're at now. My husband, he's a dad and he's a husband. So, like, him being a friend, his boys, hey, you want to go? No, I'm here. So when I go with my friends, it looks to everybody else like I'm moving, like I'm single. No, I'm just having time with my friends. I'm having time with my family. I'm doing a lot of stuff. So to me, it benefits for him to have time with his friends. Because when we get together, it's like we have something to talk about. What y'all did?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, that brings excitement to your marriage, to your relationship, because it's like you get to miss each other. You get to do something outside of each other, then come back together. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're struggling
with. So push him. Do you push him to go out with his friends?
Yes.
Oh, because like, I also have the kind of husband, it's funny, I saw a video on social media about the other day. I have the kind of husband that will tell his friends that I say he can't go. That's not true. He'll be like, yeah, she don't want me to go nowhere. She want to watch movies tonight. I did not say that. I told you to go. It's not me, y'all. So when he tell y'all that, it's not me. He don't be wanting to go nowhere. He wants to be with me all the time. And I love that. But we do have our me time, and it is beneficial. It's beneficial for me to go out with my girls, and we go to lunch and we have drinks. We'll go to a concert. We'll go wherever. And it's just, it's very healthy because the worst feeling is to lose yourself. Because I'm telling you, lose yourself, that's a hard person to find.
Yes, Lord.
Very hard person to find.
And there are couples who don't do anything without each other.
Yep.
Yeah. I know them. Me, that more power to them. Nuts.
Yeah. Please get away from me. So what do y'all think about this generation and their outlook on marriage? Do you think they don't want...
There's going to be too many marriages. I just don't... I don't see it.
Me either.
I think that people are so caught up in the wedding that they don't plan for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing $40,000 and $50,000 weddings and people... getting separated and divorced in
3 months.
Mm-hmm. I think it's social media too. As long as it's good pictures, they're good.
It is. It really is. And I think too, they really don't understand why they're getting married. I don't think they're taking the vow seriously. Mm. Like, you know, do you know that you're signing up for this for a lifetime?
Right.
And that you don't get to say, I'm tired and I want a divorce because I'm tired. Like a lot of work, it's a lot of work to be married. Yeah. And it's a lot of work to stay committed. But a lot of times people want to throw in the towel because it's hard. It is hard. Mm-hmm. It is hard. It's challenging.
I ain't even got no towel.
But don't do it if you don't feel like you want to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
I said, I ain't even got no towel.
I mean, I think that this generation, I don't know. But I do think that a lot of the reason why a lot of them don't want to be married is because they haven't saw a lot of successful marriages. So I have 2 19-year-old daughters and I encourage marriage for them. And they've both before, they're a little different today, but I would say in like the last 2 years, they were both like, oh, I'm never getting married. I'm never getting, oh no, like ever. And they were adamant. And I would ask them why, because all people do is get divorced. All people do is get divorced, and because they've seen a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that married couples don't realize when you go through a divorce, the children go through a divorce too. Absolutely. So it's not just them seeing it. They're feeling it. They're feeling the split household. They're feeling the step parent that they were close to and now they no longer even speak to.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling the other siblings that they've been pulled away from and now they don't see their siblings because there's drama between the mother and the father and just so many different things. Or they're a girl and they were attached to their dad and now dad's no longer in the house and vice versa. So I think that if they can see more successful marriages and more love, then I think that they'll be more so on board. I know that for myself and my husband, we try to show that. Like one of my husband's biggest things is we have 3 girls in the house. 19, 19, and 8. So his thing is being adamant on showing them, let me show them how I love you so they know that's how they should be loved. Let me show them that a marriage can work. We've both been divorced once. So let me show them that it doesn't have to result in that. Mm-hmm. So our 8-year-old, you know, she's never had to see what a divorce looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that she never does have to see what that looks like. But for the older ones, my girls now, they're a little bit more like, okay. So it's getting a little better, but I do feel like we have a generation of young adults growing up that most of their parents, I mean, divorce rate was 50%. I do believe it's
marriage.
Right. And I do believe that's lowering a little bit now, mm-hmm. but for decades, that was the divorce rate. So most of these kids growing up, that's what they've seen. Divorce, mm-hmm. they've seen how parents get nasty with each other. They've seen how people don't talk. They've seen custody battles with them fighting over them. So why would they want to get married? So I think if we do a better job with maintaining our marriages, then I think the next generation does have hope.
Yeah.
I think too that honestly, people don't know how to be married.
Yeah.
And that's why they go into it not really knowing what to expect. And when their expectations aren't met, then it's like, this is not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then they want out. Because, you know, a lot of people will say like, well, my parents were married for 35 years and 40 mm-hmm. years. But honestly, like looking at those marriages, a lot of times they weren't healthy.
Some of these kids, we're talking about divorce, but what about the kids that are seeing unhealthy marriage?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is just as.
It's worse. It's
probably worse. Yeah.
It's harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they grow up with resentment, one of the parents, and sometimes the mother, like, why did you stay so long? Like, we witnessed that. We saw you, you know, get verbally abused or physically abused, and you stayed. And so there, to me, there is a line in which, you know, I feel like divorce is fine, because if you're getting physically abused or mentally abused, you know, that's too much. Yeah. And a lot of people say, well, I'm staying because I'm committed to my vows, but
that's not part of the vows.
Traumatizing your children and yourself.
Yeah. I think a lot of these kids are, they feel like they have so many options. Because, you know, when I was growing up, you know, we just had the people in the neighborhood. That's all you knew. That was your selection. Now it's like they turn on their phone. They think it's the perception that they have all these options just because it's in their phone.
People in different countries.
Yeah. So they don't want to, I think being young, you're probably like, listen, I got time. I'm going to pick this one. Like, they ain't trying to settle down. And it's really, it's so much division out there, or the perception of division anyway, when it comes to social media, with the way that Black men in specific and Black women in particular are against each other when it comes to how each other are in relationships. Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, but how is it around you? I tell people, y'all talk about social media. Well, how is it around you? Like, the people you actually know, how is it happening right now? Because if you tell it right now, every man, every Black man want a foreign woman. They all marrying others. No, they're not. They're not. In reality, they're actually not.
Yep. And it's so crazy, because statistically, there are most Black men marry Black women.
Yeah.
It's like I just read it the other day. I want to say, I think it's like 84%
of
Black men marry Black women.
They do.
So it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But it's like that little percentage that you're seeing on social media and that you're seeing from celebrities and all these people, like you said, they're not even your community.
No,
they're not even the people you know. You don't know these people that are even doing these things. And people are making relationship decisions and building perceptions based upon that. Well, what are the marriages like around you?
Yeah.
What are the people in your family like? Because they're not even... You're not even looking at
you
them.
Don't even have you access actually to go to people.
Right, the people you have access to, you don't even go to them for wisdom.
Nope.
You're looking at social media and, okay, now I don't trust nobody. Now women act like this. And I see so many things and I'm like, we don't act like that.
But you also got to think, like, who's sitting these kids down? Like, you know, you had a grandma back in the day hey, this is how you supposed to act. Nobody's telling these kids, this is how you be a woman.
Girl, I didn't have that though. Growing up, like, my family weren't big communicators in that way.
I mean, but your mom, you knew how. But if you seen a woman, you knew, like.
We ain't gonna talk about my mom.
But you knew like it was a community around you.
It was somebody that it was a village.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had a large.
You know, and it was just like you knew what to do and what not to do, and it's just like now it's just like they just do it.
Because those 40-year marriages, I mean, they still exist, but like thinking about your grandparents, and I remember my grandparents were married almost 50 years before they passed away. And, you know, they had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a kid, so I can't say, but I do believe that they probably got on each other's nerves, but, you know, they made it peaceful for us. You know, we could talk to them. And that is what I look back at, which is part of why I got married late, is because I wanted to stay married. Mm-hmm. My parents did get a divorce when I was approximately 5 or 6 years old. And I can remember that just like it was yesterday. I can tell you that it was around the month of November when my father left.
Oh, wow.
It was cold. But my parents, my father, he still came to see us every day, and it was devastating. It was devastating, but, you know, when you get to be an adult, you know why, you know, it was difficult for them to stay together. But I do believe that my parents' divorce played a huge role in why I got married late. Because I wanted to stay married because of how devastated my sister and I were when my parents separated, you know, and later divorced.
Yeah, y'all not making this easy for me, ladies.
Well, look.
Child. So, what are your thoughts on women proposing to men?
Oh no, man!
I say to each
that ain't what
own,
the Bible told me to do.
I say to each his own, it was not my thing. I would not have done that. Because one thing, I believe that women, a lot of times, we dream of getting married. I mean, 8, 9 years old, we thinking about marriage at 18, thinking about marriage. But I wouldn't, if I had a, oh God, no. I but there are successful marriages that where the woman proposed. I wouldn't do it. It's just not my thing. I just,
listen,
I think that's the
we
traditional
listen and
part
we
of
do
me.
Judge. No.
Yeah, yeah.
But women never.
Do. I'm not getting down on no knee for
it
no
gives
no
me vibes of your husband being at the altar and you walking down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the woman at the altar already and your husband walk. That's
he
what it gives
dress,
me. Yeah, like it, no.
You know what it is for me? I feel, and I'm not saying there aren't successful marriages that, I mean, they're successful everything. People, somebody's always,
it's always an outlier.
The norm. Yeah. My thought process on that is that, as we've talked about earlier, typically women, we evolve more than men a lot of times, or just quicker, or in just different ways. All of our lives, you're taught women mature quicker than men. And most of the time that is true. I mean, scientifically, it's just true. A lot of times in relationships, women grow faster. Women are ready to commit quicker most times, catching feelings and different things. I just feel like, for the most part, by the time a man gets ready, the woman has probably already been ready.
Right.
If he was ready, he would ask you.
Yeah.
If he wanted to, he would. I say it all the time. If that man wants to talk to you, spend time with you, it doesn't matter what he has going on, he will find a way. If he was ready to make you his wife, he would ask you. So why on earth would you take it upon yourself to do that? Why? And because a lot of times people might say, yeah, just not to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just for me. I'm not about to embarrass myself. I'm not going to pay myself. So, but I just feel like wait until he's ready. And if it's taking too long for him to get ready, you are free to roll out.
Yes.
I don't know why as women, we feel like we got to stick in stuff that we don't want to stick in. If you have a time limit on what you want to do, just be ready to leave. But don't keep, I also don't believe in badgering a man to marry you. I know plenty of people who, oh, this is your time limit. You only have 2 years, and I'm don't do that. If you keep your time limit in your head, and if he takes too long, then you leave. But I don't believe in giving those type of ultimatums either. And I feel like a man would definitely feel like that's an ultimatum. You done got down here and got on one knee. And most men I know, and I've had this conversation, they will be so embarrassed for her. They're like, I don't want to be with a woman that would do that.
Yeah,
it will be over for me.
Yeah.
If she did that, because she thinks
it's
she's
emasculating.
The man. That's how they feel.
It's
like,
emasculating.
She thinks she's the man.
Yeah. This is super embarrassing.
And to piggyback off what you said, I think, you know, because I was ready way before my husband.
Most of the time we are.
Yeah.
Way before my husband. And I was getting a little antsy.
Mm-hmm.
You already know what you got. You know, what's taking so long? But part of our process is we really weren't ready.
Mm.
We dated 10 years.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Father, you know, God.
We met. Oh, yeah, and for some, it depends on what your age is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we dated 10 years, and it probably didn't take that long. But sometimes you have to factor in, are we financially ready?
Yeah.
You know, because you know you're going to want a house, you're going to want this, that, and the third. But even though I waited, it was never in my mind to ask him to marry me. I don't want you to marry me if you're not ready.
Exactly.
And a lot of times men aren't ready, and I think they're not ready because of the fear associated with what this is going to look like, what is going to be my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband told me when we got married, he said, "Woo, I suddenly got $134,000 debt in debt because, you know, his name automatically went up. It's a lot of, that's why I'm saying the premarital is important because it's a lot of things that you got to factor in.
Yeah.
When you get married, you're taking on each other's debt and children, and we ain't even talk about blended families.
Mm.
Girl,
on the show.
Now, for me, it was hard because now I knew I wanted to get married, but it was like, we've been together since I was in the 10th grade.
Mm.
All you keep hearing is, when y'all gonna get married?
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, it's like, I want to get married, but now, it's more of pressure. Like, so now it's like, I don't even want, like, we can't even do it now because I don't even know if it's like, are we really ready or is it more pressure? So it's like, we were 19 years right before we got married.
Yeah, and that's so young.
And that makes sense. But that makes sense because you were together since you were 16. And that makes sense for it to take that long and make sure you were ready. And I completely agree with that. I know for me, one of the benefits in being married before was being clear on how we were going into this next marriage. Mm-hmm. And knowing, I mean, I got married really young my first time. I was 23. Mm-hmm. So, and we were divorced by the time we were 27. We just didn't know. We was in love. We got married, but we didn't know what a marriage really took. We thought we did, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. So, but just knowing differently this time, we got engaged. And when my husband proposed, it took me 2 years to set a date. And he kept saying, like, now he's like, what are we waiting for? Because he was ready before me. And he was just like, what are we waiting for? Why haven't you picked a date? But it was that preparation. I said, I'm not picking a date until both of our credit is right. Mm-hmm. I'm not marrying you. My credit is not right because I don't want you to have to suffer from that. And I'm not suffering from yours. So we fixed our credit. It was a few things that I was just like, I didn't think about these things my first go around because I didn't know. But now we're talking about buying properties and I own businesses and you have things going on. Like, I'm not signing on to your debt. I don't want you signing on to mine. So we have some things that we have to do to mm-hmm. make sure we get right. And when we did those things, then I was like, okay, cool. Now I'm ready to actually sign a paper. But we needed to make sure that we were in the right space. So it's not just about being emotionally ready and loving somebody, but you need to make sure we're going to be stable. Cause if something happened to me or you mm-hmm. got us, if something happened to you, do I got us? So I don't recommend anybody getting married before knowing that, making sure that stability needs to be a top factor. Yeah. Are y'all going to be okay?
Y'all exhausting me right now. This is just way too much information.
There are some benefits to being single too now.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Tell me about
that's
it.
That's a whole other show too.
There's stuff. All right, I got one more question for y'all. I need to know. Now, this is what I really need to know. What is the secret to having a healthy, happy marriage? What's the secret?
This question was asked to me in premarital counseling before we got married. And I asked myself this when we were going through hard times. What happens when love isn't enough? I didn't understand that question when that was the first question he asked us when we sat down. I was like, what? But I found myself sitting on the side of the bed and I was like, God, I get it now. I get it. Like, because he working my last damn nerve. So I was like, how do you function through that? Like, how do you get through that? I wish we would have done counseling when nothing was wrong.
That part.
Because it's like a marriage go through hill and valley. It's ups and downs, but you got to work through it. And if you're not going to work through it, how do you get through it?
So I would say everything is communication. Everything leads back to communication. Communication is the oxygen to your marriage. If you can't talk, then you have a huge problem. And I don't think it's just communication, but I think communication is the core to a successful marriage. But you know, there are also like branches to that, and you know, that's friendship. Can we be friends? Are you my friend? How do you show gratitude and appreciation to each other? Do you say, you know, thank you for taking out the trash, even though that's not his responsibility? Because sometimes people will say, well, I mean, he's supposed to take out the trash, you know, but men like affirmations and they like gratitude and appreciation. And so, you know, saying thank you for coming home. Because I sit and listen to clients all day, and sometimes I just text my husband. I'm like, "Oh God, thank you. I love you." Because you know, we understand that marriage is a challenge. It is a challenge, and But, you know, overall, if I were to make a blanket statement, I would say communication. Communication, mm-hmm. friendship, you know, having shared meaning, having shared goals. Mm-hmm. Because if your goals is different from their goals, and then you're going to be fighting against each other. So it's a lot that goes into a healthy marriage. It just, you know, and I just believe, I'll just go back to the communication. If you can, oh, but in addition with the communication is, can I talk to you and without you getting defensive or personalizing my experience? Mm-hmm. Because my experience is my experience, but I want to be able to communicate. And that's why people stop talking, because the last time I tried to bring something up to you, you shut me down. We had mm-hmm. a big argument. So what I'll do now is I'm going to suppress my feelings. And, mm-hmm. and mainly I see men do this. You know, that's why women bring up so much stuff, and men, they be like, I don't have everything good. I don't have any problem. Mm-hmm. But really they're suppressing it. And when you spill the milk on the floor, then that's when you're going to know that, you know, there's a boatload of issues that he's been suppressing. Mm-hmm. So that communication is really key. The communication and being able to accept your partner's influence.
I agree with that. I would say for me, communication was going to be my number two answer. But my first one is definitely just prayer and keeping God first. Mm-hmm. And again, everybody is not a Christian. Everybody's not religious. But for me and for my marriage, that's what matters. That's what keeps it healthy, and making sure that God is at the center. Mm-hmm. And that helps with the communication, because when he driving me nuts and I'm ready to go upside his head, like I literally will stop what I'm doing and just start praying. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, God, I need you to guide my tongue, because what I'm about to say right now is going to really piss him off. That's not my intention. So I'm going to give it a couple seconds, but I need you to send me something, because it's about to all just flow out right now. And I don't want it to be that way. So, but I think that consistently being in prayer definitely helps with the communication. Mm-hmm. When you're intentional, and just being intentional in your marriage, or even just any relation, just really being intentional about how you speak to them. Are you speaking at them, or are you speaking in them, into them? Are you speaking over him? And just being intentional with your time, with the way you treat each other. And that's like the biggest thing. And we're very intentional with our communication. And it wasn't always this way. Mm-hmm. We had very tough communication in the beginning. But it's like now, I mean, my husband wants to talk more than I do. And I'm just like, do we have to talk about it? And he's like, yeah, we're going to talk about it so it doesn't have to happen again. And I'm like, when did you become this person? You were the person that never wanted to talk. And now it's like, he's like, no, I don't want to have to go through this issue again. We're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And he will talk and talk and talk until we really get to the bottom of it. So that coupled with laughter, because we're both silly. So by the end of it, we laughing about something and just not holding the grudge. Mm-hmm. And just, I also think just being able to truly accept your partner's flaws. That's hard. Mm-hmm. That is hard. Let me tell you, the way he snores, like hard. Like it's even, and it's small things like that drive me nuts. When people mm-hmm. snore, when people smack, when people just do just out of sort things. So it's just being able to accept just certain flaws and be okay. And just now I just laugh at certain stuff and I'm like, because it's just really not that deep.
So you saying you got to accept the snoring?
We got a call.
Oh, child.
All right, we got a caller.
I have a question.
And be okay. And just now I'm just laughing.
So my question is, when you're in a marriage and one partner just want to take.
I have a question. And be okay. And just...
What's your question?
Hey.
They were trying to listen to themselves in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just tell them that. Turn it down.
That's your job.
I can't tell them from here.
Why not?
No, because they're listening to you on the microphone.
She can hear you on the phone, too.
But she can't because it comes to the mic.
We got to fix that because... Jay Adams used to do it before the callers would come in. Can you turn it back down? I think she was just asking.
She said when one partner wants to just take.
Leave.
And I'm assuming she means they're not giving. They're a taker and not a giver in any way.
I ain't married, so I
have a lot to say on it, but I don't know if it will come out correctly. So let's let the counselor. Okay.
Which is that?
Oh.
Okay, caller, what you got?
Okay. When you're in a marriage and then your mate, all he wants to do is take. How do you handle that situation?
And what is he taking? What is it? What do you mean when you say take?
Caller?
Yes.
Yeah, what do you mean when you say he's taking? What is he taking?
Like, you pay the bills. Maybe he make less than you. And you paying the bills, and he's, like, wanting to go to lunch, wants to buy his daughter a car.
Oh, well, he's not contributing.
He want to do things that he didn't do prior to you getting married. But now that he's married to you, he wants to just spend.
Good him.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is that before he got married, before y'all got married, or before the couple got married, his income was less than hers. And now that the income is combined, he wants to spend a lot of the money that he didn't really contribute to the marriage. I'm thinking that's what you're saying.
And that's a financial conversation.
You know, you have to figure out like what are our agreements? You know, are we going to have a budget? And after the budget, you get X amount of dollars, I get X amount of dollars, or what is our agreement? You know, is he using his money? That hypothetically, you have a budget. And the budget is to pay the bills. And then, okay, you get $1,000 after the budget, I get $1,000. And we can do whatever we want to do with our $1,000. There needs to be agreements around how you're going to spend this money. Because what it sounds like is that it sounds like it doesn't feel fair to the person that's bringing in the most amount of money. And you have to figure out, like, what is your philosophy around money? So there's layers to this. It's not just like, okay, he shouldn't do XYZ. You know, what is the agreement? You know, how do we plan to spend our money? It's a lot that goes into it, because if he's a spender and the other person's a saver, that's a perpetual problem, and it won't be resolved. You know, it won't be resolved overnight. So, you know, you have to come up with temporary agreements, I would say. You know, say, okay, for the next 3 months, we're going to try it this way. But it definitely has to be a conversation around it. You can't just say, you know, I'm noticing that he's taken and it's bothering me and you're not saying anything about it. It definitely has to be conversations, and more than one conversation. You got to continue to have conversations until you both feel comfortable with the situation. It's just my perspective.
See how you asked the professional, because I would have said leave his ass. I mean, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
I mean, because she said he taking. Like,
I'm gonna take my ass over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then she said the daughter buying a daughter a car
with her money.
Yeah.
And she paying the bill.
Yeah, they need to have.
So there's no agreements around that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the first thing you should do, and probably this is what you learn in premarital counseling, is how are we going to pay the bills?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And are we going to have like a joint account? And then you have your account, I have my account. You got to have conversations around that, because finances is one of the top issues in why couples don't survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having those agreements is extremely important.
This is the most exhausting shit ever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ooh, child, listen, this was a great conversation, y'all. I'm so enlightened, and yeah, I don't know if my mind's changed yet, but I appreciate the conversation.
There's something else I want to bring up. Understanding your partner's love language. You should do it constantly. We did it back in January, and we did it again in November, and I realized my husband's love language changed.
Yes, mine has changed several.
See, I don't subscribe to just one love languages book. I put mine in order and how important they are to me. I don't think another call. Oh, I gotta go. Okay.
You had a question.
What's up? What you calling? What you got?
I was calling to see if Miss Latanya could let us know what is the biggest complaint she hears from men. And what's the biggest complaint she hears from women in their counseling sessions about marriage?
The biggest complaint that I hear from women is that he doesn't tell me what he's thinking. I don't know. He doesn't communicate his thoughts, his feelings. That's what women, and then men say, men will say, that she talks too much. She tells me everything I'm doing wrong. You know, and that's just how we are. Women, we notice everything. If there's a piece of paper on the floor, like, he didn't see that piece of paper? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, like, no, he didn't. Really, he didn't see the piece of paper. And so, like you were saying, like, you have to get to know who you're with, right? And you also have to extend grace, because he might not have seen that piece of paper on the floor. Or the things that bother us don't bother them.
Yeah.
I think my husband said, we had a little tit last night, and one of the things he said is, you know, I have complaints too, but, you know, I make a face and I just don't say nothing about it.
Oh, I hate when they do that. Yeah. And I'm like, you need to speak on them, because I cannot fix anything that I don't know.
Yes.
And it is unfair for you to bring it up when I bring up something to you, because now you're not validating what I'm saying to you, because you're bringing me something. Yeah. So I say all the time, say it when you feel it.
It doesn't matter
if it's going to hurt my feelings. It doesn't matter how it's going to make me feel. I'll get over it.
Yes.
But at least then I'll know what I need to work on. You got me thinking I'm perfect until I'm mad at you.
Right.
And then here you come with a list of stuff that I do that drives you crazy. And now I'm standing here feeling like you're not validating what I was bringing to you, though. So now the table's turned and you made it about you. So now the argument is about you making it about you, and we're not talking about either of the issues. We're not getting anywhere.
And that's called cross-complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important, men, that you show more than one emotion. And that one emotion that men don't have a problem showing is anger, because anger doesn't require any vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
But what's beneath the anger? I felt hurt. I felt embarrassed. Yeah. I felt unheard. When you tell your mate that you felt unheard or uncared for or embarrassed, then that gives us something to work with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you, like you said, when I bring up something, you don't get a chance to cross complain, to tell me everything. Like you said, the list of things that you have that you've been holding from me. But the reason why men bring up things during that time period when there's already an argument, because, hey, you know, I don't want to bring up something. We about to go to a cookout and, you know, about to have a good time. The sun is out. I don't want to bring up things then. It's easier to bring up things when there's already tension.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not effective at all. Because if you look at any time that's happened in your relationship, you realize that the argument or disagreement remains unresolved.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm in defense mode.
Yes. Yeah. Now we're about to fight about something else.
Yeah.
So men, if you could go beneath the iceberg and talk about your feelings, it could help us out a whole lot.
Yes. I'm glad.
And if y'all start doing that, then we'll stop talking too much.
I'm glad you said that, though, about the emotion, because men really think they only, women are emotional. Mm-hmm. I'm like, emotions, it's a range of those things, guys. And y'all have more than just one.
So. And the reason why men feel like we're too emotional is because they're uncomfortable with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Our emotions make them uncomfortable. And, you know, just like, for instance, if a woman is crying and a man is just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
What she needs is touch her.
Mm-hmm.
Give her a hug. You don't have to say anything and you don't have to fix it.
Yep.
And that's all that's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So men, if she's crying, give her a hug.
Hug her. Hugs fix a lot of stuff, yeah, guys. They really do.
A whole lot.
A lot.
Sometimes you really just need a hug.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, before we leave, can I do a shameless plug?
Yeah, I'm about to give you that. Give me a second. Okay. I appreciate y'all coming on the panel. I appreciate everybody that called in too. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the part of the show where I let my panelists say what you got coming up. If you want to promote anything, if you want to shout out your social medias, whatever you want to do. Y'all on this side, that's y'all camera. You right here, that's your camera. Whoever want to go first, have at it.
Okay. So I just want to let you all know out there in the world that I am doing a workshop called Teach Me How to Love. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about attaining and sustaining intimacy and the reasons why after a certain period of time in your marriage or relationship, the intimacy dies. So you can go and visit my website at www.hecounseling.com/workshops.
Okay. I can be getting blessed today. Okay.
Where can they find you on social media?
I am on TikTok as Wonderful_Counselor and Instagram is Wonderful_Counselor and Facebook is Hopeful Expectations Counseling.
All right. Who's going next?
Child, I'm just here for the help because I need it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. So you can find me on Facebook at Lashay Johnson. I'm taking an Instagram hiatus right now. Realize I'm just on there way too much and I have some projects that I'm focusing on. But I definitely, if you need assistance, I am an HR consultant and a career coach. I help small, medium, and large businesses build up their human resources department as well as get your business started. If you need any assistance, feel free to DM me. Also here, if you're in the Charlotte area, definitely check out my husband and I's food truck, Gouda's Kitchen on the Go. We sell the best loaded French fries in the Charlotte area. So definitely follow us on Instagram at Gouda's Kitchen 7 or Facebook at Gouda's Kitchen. And that's it for today.
All right. Yeah. Well, y'all know who I am. I am Didi Legate, aka the Core Queen. I help individuals lose weight and get in amazing shape without starving yourself or spending hours a day in the gym. I need y'all to do me a favor. I need y'all to hit that notification bell on YouTube, subscribe to my channel, like this episode, comment, share it with your friends, and let them know about the Core Queen podcast. This is the last show for 2024, so I appreciate the panel coming on here to spend some time with me today. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know how to follow me on all social media platforms. You can Google me, The Core Queen, Didi Legate. I'll pop up everywhere. Just find me wherever. My upcoming big project that I have coming up January 18th, if you're from my hometown of Bristol, Pennsylvania, my nonprofit, Evelyn Joys, will be having our third annual Wearing a Coat Drive. So please come out, bring your kids. We're going to have games. We're going to have prizes, free TV, laptop, bikes, gift cards, food, everything. Please come out, bring the kids so we can have a good time like we do every year. That is January 18th at the Jungle Gym in Bristol, Pennsylvania from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got a lot of stuff coming up. Y'all just follow me. Y'all find out. Y'all see it. I'm in these streets. You hear me? In these streets. But y'all make sure y'all come back. January 8th will be the next show. Same time, same place on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on the notification bell so you'll know when we're live again. And we are out.
See ya.